So why are the youth of India or the youth of the world going backwards? In general, there are two reasons. One reason is that they're following their elders. And the other reason is that they're not. When the elders are going in the wrong direction, the youth who follow are also going in the wrong direction. And sometimes when the youth conclude, our elders are going in the wrong direction, then they try to find out themselves what the right direction is. And without proper guidance, they also get lost and go in the wrong direction. So we go off track in two ways, by following and by not following. By following the wrong party or the party that's going the wrong way, or by trying on our own to find out the right way and without proper guidance, failing. The modern world is in general going in the wrong way. They are taking a materialistic view. Kamo papo paparama etavati nishchita. That the goal of life is enjoyment. Why are you here on earth? What is your life for? It's to enjoy. If you're not enjoying life, what are you here for? So they take it, this is the topmost business. Kamo papoga parama. Parama means the supreme, the ultimate, the highest there is. Kama upapoga, sense gratification and the pursuit of one's desires. This is it. This is what life is. And they're carrying on like that. Especially in the Western countries, they're very prominent in this regard. And India and other countries are so much following or influenced by the West, and they're also taking it that yes, this is nice. They don't know that the Western countries are, the people in the Western countries are suffering like anything. Simple thing. What is material happiness? What is material happiness? So generally, material happiness means family life. You have your wife, you have your children, you have your home, you have your comforts, and this is happiness. So, of course, according to Vedic knowledge, this is not happiness, because this is temporary. But, materially, this is more or less, this is happiness. If we have to say that there's happiness, this is happiness. But in the materialistic society, even that happiness is very shaky or hardly to be had. In America, the divorce rate is something like 50%. As soon as you're married, it means you're on your way to divorce. Then where's the family happiness? Where's the family happiness? Sometimes I'm traveling on the plane. Some child is also traveling. So I'm asked, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to such and such city. What's there? Oh, my father is there. His mother is living in one city. Father is living in another city. And for 1 month he's with the father. With another month he's with the mother. Or Tuesdays and Thursdays the child is with the father. And the other days with the mother. Common thing. So where's happiness? Even materially. So they're trying to expand their happiness materially, and the result is that even whatever there might be of material happiness, they don't get. According to the Bhagavad Gita, simply to enjoy our some happiness in this world is not the business of life. Or simply to be focused on this, how will I be happy, how will I be happy by material enjoyment. This is misuse of human life. Parabhavastavara podajato. Yavana jigyasata atmatattva. As human life is meant for atmatattva, or spiritual inquiry. And as long as that spiritual inquiry is not there, human life is a failure. If the business, if the highest thing is to enjoy sense gratification, then the animals are as advanced as we are, or more advanced. We sit in front of a plate of food, and we can do, maybe if it's a big plate, we can eat half of it. But the hippopotamus has a mouth like a truck, and so much he can eat. Then who's more advanced? The hippopotamus is more advanced. Or if you say, no, but he's vegetarian, so he's so limited. All right, the tiger is more advanced. Sleeping. All right, we can sleep on a nice bed. But how much can we sleep? 6 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours. But the bear is sleeping for how long? 6 months? The bear is more advanced. He's sleeping so much. And defending, maybe we learn kung fu or something like that. But what is your, if you meet a tiger on the road, what is your kung fu? A tiger is more advanced. Claws and teeth. And yes, but we have sex life. And for that we have cinemas and we have so many arrangements, nice arrangements. But how much sex life can we enjoy? The monkeys are having sex life like anything. The pigeons, every few minutes, they're having sex life. And what can the poor human being enjoy for sex life? Little bit. So for eating, sleeping, mating, and fighting, the animals are more advanced. And, all right, we're making progress. Maybe we're exceeding the animals. Individually, the tiger is more advanced, but we have armies, we have guns, we have tanks, we have missiles, we have nuclear weapons. So we're more advanced than the tigers, far more advanced. Oh, great, congratulations. Is this the real progress of human life? Now that someone was telling me that according to the military standard knowledge, the life expectancy of a soldier in modern warfare is about 45 seconds. Really? And wars are won just by who can pump in the maximum number of men and the maximum number of artillery, so that the other side finally is just overwhelmed. But the soldier's actual life expectancy on the battlefield is 45 seconds. So we have our great wars, our great battles, millions of men can be killed. Previously, even in great, great wars, a few thousand, maybe 10,000, 50,000, 100,000. Now millions of men can disappear just like that. The modern world is turning away from God consciousness, turning toward sense gratification. That's described in Bhagavad Gita. Etam drishtim avashtabhya nashtatma alpabuddhayaha tabhavanti ugrakarmanaha kshayaya jagato hita. With this Etam Drishtim, with materialistic, atheistic consciousness, Nashtatma, they're losing their souls. Soul is never lost, soul is eternal. Najayate Miyate Va, it can never be killed. But Nashtatma means that one becomes so unaware of his spiritual identity that it's as if the spiritual soul were killed. Soul-killing civilization. Although the soul can't be killed, practically they're doing their best to kill the life of the soul. The life of the body, the life of the senses, that's everything. And soul, what is soul? Soul is some nonsense. Some religious thing, soul, soul, what is soul? Nashtatma. They lose their spiritual life. And alpabuddhayaha, they become very foolish, alpabuddhi, unintelligent, foolish. When one engages in spiritual realization, dadami buddhi yogam tam, Krishna gives one spiritual intelligence. But when one turns away from Krishna, then Krishna takes away one's spiritual intelligence. So one is writing computer programs and thinking, I'm becoming advanced. One is making money, saying, I'm becoming advanced. One is getting his picture in the newspaper, I'm getting advanced. But does he have any spiritual realization? No. And what is his advancement? I have some money, I have some fame, I have some mundane knowledge. What is that? It will all be finished. Therefore, alpabuddhi, unintelligent. Unintelligent. Intelligence in eating, sleeping, mating, defending, that's not intelligence. That's pseudo-intelligence. And to advance in pseudo-intelligence means foolishness. Advancement and foolishness. Then, what kind of advancement actually is being made? Prabhavanti ugrakarmana. Ugrakarma means nasty activities. To work like a dog day and night, to build a civilization full of pollution, full of anxiety, full of crowded cities, full of factories, full of exploitation, full of cheating. Ugrakarma, pungent, nasty activities. Full of nuclear weapons, full of chemical weapons, full of biological weapons. This is not advancement of human civilization. This is the civilization of the demons, Ugrakarmanha. Shayaya Jagato Ahita. Jagathita means the welfare of the world. The Vedic sages were concerned for the welfare of the world. How will people be happy? Sarvasukhino bhavanti. How will people be happy? Let everyone become happy. Materially and spiritually. Materially, by simple living, one becomes happy. No, I can't live in simply. I have to live a complicated way of life. Get up in the morning, throw a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, rush into the traffic, travel for an hour in traffic, go to some office, then work, then come home, watch television, go to sleep. What life is that? Ahita. It's unbeneficial. And business going on for creating unnecessary necessities. A plastic civilization. A plastic civilization. The previously simple thing, the plates were made of gold or silver or palm leaf. These things are very pure, very nice. Or they were made of earth, and they'd be used one time. Because after it's used one time, then it's contaminated, so smash it. Cups, still sometimes you find the clay cups, they're used one time, smashed, finished. So even when I was first coming to India, say back 25 years, all the cups were clay cups. Everyone is getting their tea in a clay cup. So now we're more advanced. The tea is served in the plastic cup. And just as you throw out the clay cup, you throw out the plastic cup, and the whole countryside is lined with plastic cups. And now you can have plates, they'll also be made of plastic. But you keep them and use them again and again. They can never be cleaned because they're plastic. But it's very advanced. And we used to have leaves, now we have plastic. How nice. The plates are plastic, the cups are plastic, the tables are plastic, the ornaments are plastic. Previously, any lady, if she had some ornaments, they'd be gold. They'd be gold, or some silver or gold. Because if ever she was in difficulty, I'll sell some ornaments. So she's wearing her bank account. If she ever has any need of money, you sell a bangle or two when you have money. And it also looks nice. So now we're advanced. Forget the gold ornaments. You can wear plastic. Plastic cups, plastic plates, plastic ornaments, plastic tables, plastic people. Everything plastic. So this Krishna consciousness movement is meant to give the proper balance to human life and to oppose a plastic civilization. Even this body, finally it's plastic. Maybe, okay, it's skin and bones and blood, but it's plastic. It means it's cheap, disposable material. Compared to spirit, which is eternal, a body is even plastic would be better in some sense. What it's really made of is kind of disgusting. But anyway, it's made of some temporary material stuff, bones, and or sometimes they replace it with plastic. The heart may be replaced with plastic, an arm may be replaced with plastic. So many parts are replaced with plastic. So finally, the body is not so much better than plastic. Not so much better than plastic. And sometimes plastic is also, don't worry, we've given you a new arm. It will last for the rest of your life. It's plastic. So finally, the body has no real substance. It's substantial for some time, but it's not ultimately substantial. Like what we see in a dream, it has some existence for some time, and then it's finished. That means it's not actually substantial. Substantial means permanent. So the materialistic way of life, which is the dominant way of life in the world at the present time, is demonic, is ignorant, is nasty, is unbeneficial, is against the interests of the eternal living being. And our Krishna consciousness movement is meant to give the alternative to that backwards way of life. They say that people in India, they used to live a backwards way of life, living in the villages. Village was advanced. Nice, simple little dwellings, and cows, and land, and fields, and fresh water. That's advancement. Now you can live in Bombay. Polluted water, stinking air, no peace anywhere, cars rushing in every direction, thieves and dacoits. And you're advanced, but you have an internet connection, you're advanced. The village was more advanced. Even 50 or 60 years ago, in the villages every evening, people would gather and hear Krishna Katha, Bhagavatam, Ramayana. And now we come home from a hard day's work and we watch Star TV. So, and this is progress. They're no longer backward villagers. So, Krishna consciousness means that we recognize that the so-called advancement is going backwards, actually backwards. They're going in the wrong direction. And Krishna consciousness means progressive life, in which there's Parama, the supreme goal, is not some sense enjoyment, which is illusory at best. But the actual goal is to revive our eternal relationship with Krishna, in which there's eternal happiness and permanent knowledge. So, maybe I'll cut short and take questions more tonight. Is it possible to go back? They will be what? That's okay. Intelligence is always in the minority. Majority will always be fools. So what's wrong with being in the minority? People like Einstein, they're in the majority or the minority? People like Gandhi, they're in the majority or the minority? The progressive thinkers or the people who make some contribution, they're always the minority. The sheep are always the majority. So?
Is the formation of the world possible?
Is it what?
The formation of the world as a world possible? Reformation of the world as a world possible? Or everything?
Reformation?
Of the whole world. Is it possible?
No. The world will never be reformed. It's a lost cause. World is a lost cause. Anityam asukam lokam. In the Bhagavad Gita, the world is certified. Temporary, anityam, asukam, unhappy, that is to say, miserable. Anityam asukam lokam. That's this world. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Same thing. Dukkhalayam. The place where they distribute misery. Just like we have Bhojanalaya. So, Dukkhalaya. But nobody, if you advertise, Dukkhalaya, no one who will come, how many customers? But this is the material world, certified by Krishna, who created it. Dukkhalaya, miserable. And Ashashvatam. Ashashvatam means anityam, temporary. So what will you make it? Sukhalaya? It's not possible. It will never be Sukhalaya. And it will never be Shashvata. So it can't be reformed. Or, but you can be reformed. Actually, the material world can't be reformed. It's a reformatory. Like prison. Can you make prison into a hotel? They're trying, you know. That we'll live in prison, but we'll have Star TV. But it's prison, finally. This material world is prison. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi, birth, death, disease, and old age. You'll change it. You'll make it so there's no death, no disease. The scientists are fighting disease. What fighting disease? Every scientist finally dies. Anityam asukam lokam. The best thing is that at least one himself can be reformed, and he can try and reform others. But as far as reforming the world, it will never be reformed. Deformed. Is that okay? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear. it necessary to suppress or kill desires in order to attain Krishna consciousness? Yes. Not only to attain Krishna consciousness, but even to be a human being, one has to suppress some desires. Everyone has desires that are practically unspeakable. I was walking on the street and some psycho-walla came and practically, you know, banged into me and I lost my balance. I don't want to tell you what I wanted to do to that psycho-walla. You know, right on this time, I'm so angry. And now imagine if I'd done it. Yeah. So many things, so many desires we have, which are not good. Young boy sees a young girl, his mind starts wandering, he starts having desires. Imagine if he starts acting on those desires. Imagine. You walk down the street, and there are so many boys, they have so many desires. Girls also have desires. Now imagine everybody says, okay, for the next 15 minutes, no suppression of desires. We're all going to just, you know, let it all happen. Those would be the wildest 15 minutes in human history. Human life means control desires. The animal life, maybe they don't have to control. Whatever they desire they have, they just do it. That's animal. But a human being has to control desires. Otherwise, he's not a human being. He's an animal. Huh? Well, how do you suppress anger? By determination. You know, well, by knowledge, you know I'm angry at this person. If I shoot him, they're going to arrest me. Whatever, but one has to become conscious and exercise self-control. The problem is that self-control doesn't work. Or, yes, let's say it works to some extent, and then we go beyond self-control. We go out of control. Even the yogis, the example could be given, Vishwamitra Muni. He'd previously been a king. He gave up his kingdom to take up the life of a sadhu. And he, for thousands and thousands of years, he was meditating. Indra became envious. This sadhu is meditating. He's going to become so powerful by his tapasya, he'll take my post. So, to prevent that, Indra sent one society girl, Menaka, from heaven. She went to the spot where the muni was meditating, danced a little bit, ankle bells tinkling. So the muni was hearing the ankle bells, and he thought, woman is there. Business finished. So even in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that even the person who's trying to control desires, the senses are so powerful. What is that verse, Bhagavad Gita? The senses are so powerful that they carry away the mind even of a person who is trying to control. Indriyanam hi charitam yanmano nubhidhiyate tadasya harati pragya. Pragya means person who's advanced. Pragya. Vayuranavami bhamasi. As a strong wind comes and blows a boat down the river, the senses are so powerful that they carry away the mind, even of a person who's pragya, who's trying to control them. And there are so many examples. So what to do? Therefore, Krishna consciousness is required, because in Krishna consciousness, it's not that we simply suppress desire, kill desire. The The impersonalist philosophers, they have to stop desire. The Buddhists, the Shunyavadis, the Nirvisheshvadis, because any kind of desire means that you're not on the spiritual platform. Because on the spiritual platform, there's no desire, there's no thought, there's no activity, there's no form, there's no quality, there's no nothing, according to them. So they're simply trying to smash desire, or kill desire, become desireless. But in Krishna consciousness, we recognize that the living being is eternal. And therefore, desire is an eternal feature of the living being. But at the present moment, it's material desire. But there's also spiritual desire. In the spiritual world, the living beings are desiring to serve Krishna, liberated souls. They're desiring to serve Krishna in different ways. The cowherd boys are desiring to assist Krishna in herding the cows. Jashoda Mayi is desiring to take care of Krishna nicely. The servants of Krishna are desiring to please the Lord by their service. So desire is there. But that desire is desire to serve Krishna. And in the material world, it's desire to serve my senses. So in Krishna consciousness, we don't say kill desire, but we say control material desire and replace it with a higher desire, spiritual desire. Or rather, if spiritual desire is there, automatically the material desire will diminish and finally be finished. This is our method. Yat pāra pāṅgita palāśa vilāśa pāṅtyā. In Śrīmad Bhāgavatam, it said that the saintly persons are trying with great endeavor to stop the waves of desire, of anger, of so many things. But those who engage in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna easily go beyond these things because they have superior desire. Feel? Think that you have no guts? That's good. Let him think that. Let him think, I'm powerful, I'm great. You have a microphone. That's good.
Last time, the person is making the fault, and I mean, I tell him, don't do it.
You have that microphone, you should use it.
The other person, there's something wrong. So, the other person, he's got something wrong. And then he acts like.
Does that microphone work?
Yeah, it works. The other person, he says that but he acts like he acts like he doesn't
like it. Yeah.
And the person
with me
thinks of
Krishna consciousness. Like Hiranyakashipu was abusing his son, and Hiranyakashipu was thinking, I'm so powerful, no one can defy me. And Prahlad Maharaj was just tolerating. But finally, who got killed by Nrisimhadev and who got protected? It's the quality of the demons to be arrogant, to be proud, to be angry, to be abusive. And it's the quality of the saintly persons to be tolerant. So then the demons think, yes, the saintly persons are fools. They're tolerant. I'm intelligent. I get my way. No, he won't understand. He's a fool. Then you have a fool for a son. First thing is, at least the father should be intelligent. And if the father is intelligent, then the son may also gradually become intelligent. And my father is, he'll see. There's a rather famous statement by the American author Mark Twain that my father was very foolish, but when I met him again years later, I was surprised how intelligent he'd become. Well, it means that the child is thinking that I'm very intelligent, my father is a fool. But gradually, as he grows up, he may come to understand that actually my father was intelligent, that I was a fool. So it may come like that. So therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, it's recommended that one has to be patient, one has to be tolerant. If one accepts these saintly qualities, then others may abuse him, but he'll come out ahead. Or, sometimes, even a saintly person, he'll make some show of anger. Actually, he's not angry, but just for keeping pace with the material world, he makes some show. The story is there that Narad Muni made a snake into a Vaishnava, into a devotee. So snakes, they're naturally angry, envious, they bite everyone. But this snake became a Vaishnav, so he became very humble and meek. By the order of his Guru Maharaj, he wasn't biting anyone. So then the village boys started taking advantage. They would tease the snake, they would throw stones at the snake, and what could the snake do? He can't bite them. He's become a Vaishnava. So then Narad Muni came again. So he inquired of his snake disciple. So, how's it going? Yes, everything's all right. But these boys, village boys, are taking advantage of my nonviolent policy. And they're teasing me, they're harassing me, they're throwing stones on me. So Narad Muni instructed, that's all right, you don't bite, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't show your hoods as if you're going to bite. So then the snake was all right. But he wasn't biting, but he was showing his hoods and the boys were running away. So sometimes a devotee may make something that'll show. But actually, he's humble and meek. Is that all right? Microphone. No, you asked your question already. Next man.
I don't go by this. Like, you are punished when you see someone doing wrong. Like, if I see someone, like, say my son doing something wrong, I must punish.
You must. You must.
Yeah. So I'm not sure,
when he grows up, he doesn't do the same mistake.
That's not anger, that's... It's not only for the son. If I see something wrong happening in society, then that's not only for the same neighbor. I just don't ignore it. I must punish it.
Because I think there is a concern,
I don't know, if you just see Akash, I am doing something wrong, then you are equally punished.
It's
Mahabharata. There is a Mahabharata for the son. I'm not punished because the father wrote the sins.
You have to see what your duty is. It's not a question of anger. It's a question of duty. If you're punishing your son, it's not that you have to be angry, but it's a matter of duty. Just like our Guru Maharaj, sometimes he would become very strong with us. And then sometime later he would say, don't mind, it's my duty. So Chanakya Pandit also says that one should be very strong with sons and disciples. It's a matter of duty. So in the Bhagavad Gita, that theme is there, that one should not neglect one's duty. So these things are there. Of course, it's not that everything that's wrong I can correct. It may not be my duty. If you take up someone else's duty, just suppose you see your son is doing wrong. So you correct him at once. Someone else's son is doing wrong. If you intercede there, because he's not your son, the father will come and say, "Hey, this is my business. Who are you?" And then you're in a fight. Huh? It's your duty, you have to see to your own son. But it's the next man's duty to see to his son. Not that as soon as you see something, oh, I wouldn't let my son do that, I wouldn't let his son do it either. No, then you're overstepping your duty. Huh? You're overstepping your duty. So in that way one has to see. Of course sometimes, you know, father is not there, something has to be done. But in general, it's not that everything wrong is my business. Huh? Not that I'm the army, the navy, and the police chief all rolled into one. I have to see what my duty is. Then if it's my duty, then I have to be strong. Is that all right? Yes, there's questions in the back. Hare Krishna. Usually. I mean, not that village, you know, that the village is Vaikuntha. People die in the village also. People get old in the village. People get diseased in the village. People fall into Maya in the village. But relatively speaking, village life is peaceful and in so many ways superior to the passionate life of the city. What's your question?
You mentioned in the vehicles and Bhagavan is very sacred.
What's that?
Bhagavan is very sacred.
Yeah.
So we have covered that many times for Bhagavan as shows of Jagannath as well as TV life. But we don't see the negative points. Like we study in medicine that when Hindu religious, they will have.
Where is it slower?
When the religious, they used to have very many. They used to apply Kaufman on the medical supplement.
When they used to have?
They used to apply Kaufman.
For what?
Delivery,
yeah.
So they used to apply this Kaufman on the body of the mother because it was very sacred. And in the anthology books we studied, that my plasma is a subject, just to spread and many, many mothers died. So how do we understand this?
I don't know the technical side of what goes on, but cow dung is not septic. Cow urine is not septic, it's antiseptic. But you've studied, have you tested?
It has been seen under the microscope.
That there's what?
And there's toxic and petty bacteria, what should you say?
Then?
So this is what we call tetanus, which is spreading over. That is when you take your tetanus injection, we will have to be
followed,
because so
much time. Of course, I don't know what are the rules and everything, but it's a fact that previously, the things were done with cow dung, and it would be purified. Not that your antiseptic makes everything necessarily pure. Just like still the villages are being washed with cow dung, and it's not becoming septic, it's becoming very nice. So I don't know. It requires knowledge. You see, I'm out of the village. I don't have a good village background. I have to apologize. But in the village also you have to know when cow dung is required, when cow urine is required, when neem is required. Just like Ayurvedic medicine. Now I'm not a doctor. But the Ayurvedic doctors, they know. You look, you see some ordinary weeds and plants. They see medicine. They see medicine. And their medicine is working also. You have some medical background. You know there's that condition where the skin becomes, where coloration is not proper? What is that? Yeah, like Luther Burma. Sometimes white or red where there should be dark skin. Well, anyway, you've got the idea. So as far as I know, there's no treatment for that. Maybe ultraviolet rays, but that's the most. Am I right? But last time I visited my doctor, he had a boy. And he was treating the boy with some simple Ayurvedic medicine, some diet, and some neem leaves, and the boy was recovering. Means there were big patches that had been, you know, whitish red, and they were coming normal skin color. With neem, and little change of diet, and some simple herbal medicine. And our modern medicine is saying, we don't know, we're looking for some cure, the laboratories will have to spend a few million dollars and see what to do. But since the time of the rishis, this knowledge has been there. So it's not that in the village everybody knows how to do everything, but if you have the proper knowledge, then in the village everything will be done properly. Not that everyone in the village has knowledge, that whatever we do is right. But if you know, then you'll know when to use cow dung, when to use neem leaves, when to use this, that. It's a science also. If you take, for example, I had some infection on my finger, and something was prescribed for cleansing it. What was it? Some antiseptic. But the doctor told me, don't use Dettol. Because I'm giving you antiseptic, I forget which antiseptic it was. He said, but don't think that you can put it in a solution of Dettol and that will work. So why is he cautioning me? Because so many ordinary people are saying, all right, antiseptic, Dettol. But for that particular purpose, the Dettol is the wrong thing. So as in your medicine, there's some right thing, wrong thing. Or sometimes it's right and sometimes it's wrong. So also in the village medicine, there's something right, something wrong. You have to know when to use which. But apart from that, even the modern scientist, he knows when to use Dettol and when to use some other kind of antiseptic, but he doesn't know when to use Hare Krishna. So finally, his life is a failure. You know, his infections are cured, his psoriasis is cured, his liver problem is cured, his heart is cured, everything is cured again and again, and finally he dies and goes to hell. Thank you, Hare Krishna. And another point, they're becoming so advanced now that previously they were using the cow dung in the wrong way, this, that, the mother was dying, the child was dying. Now we're advanced. So we don't wait for these calamities to happen. Instead, we send the mother to a clinic and we kill the child for you. Because there's an excessive birth rate, so if we kill the child, it's good for you. And so now the mother is educated, yes, if I kill my child, that's good. And this is advancement. From a scientific point of view, if some mothers and children are dying, that's good. That means the population rate is going down. What's wrong? Taking the modern point of view, biggest problem is overpopulation. So previously, out of ignorance, if people were dying, that was good. I mean, if we're going to be consistent, if they were dying, that was good. It was nature's way of keeping the population down. Now, we've educated them too much, so now they know how to live, so we have to do something. We have to bring them to the clinic and show them how to kill the child. Or do it for them. This is advancement. Okay, there's some questions in writing. Maharaj, when we talk about Vedic culture, are we really following? Take an example. Every morning we brush our teeth with brush and toothpaste, which is made of plastic and chemicals. If we are starting with wooden sticks, can we provide the members needed as the population increasing day by day? We have a shortage of neem trees. What is the problem? There's so many neem trees, and if there aren't enough, you could always plant more. There's a shortage. There's no shortage. If you have enough, and without factories for your plastic toothbrushes and toothpaste, you have to have big factories, toothbrush factory, toothpaste factory, and then you have to throw out the tubes in some landfill someplace and figure out what to do about the tubes. Otherwise, they were taking the sticks. They were provided by Krishna's arrangement, and you throw it away, it's biodegradable. What's the problem? Now we're advanced. Oh, we're going to... People were so foolish, they were brushing their teeth with sticks. Can you believe it? They were more advanced. They'd already discovered biodegradable toothbrushes. Life, how can we maintain balance in order to progress spiritual life? Because we can't apply qualities like simplicity and humility. Why not? You have to be duplicitous and nasty. To work in the world doesn't mean you have to be transform yourself into a monster. One can be humble. These are actually the big business advisors are counseling their counselees in the West that if you develop some humility, if you develop some of these qualities, you'll be a better manager. Huh? Big problem in so many businesses, the manager is an egomaniac. You either do it my way or get out. Everybody's got to be. You know, he's like the controller of the three worlds in his little office. He has no humility, and the staff turnover is like every day someone's leaving, every day someone's leaving. Because he's such a great manager that nobody can stand working with him. But if you develop some humility, some simplicity, then people will say, they pay me less here, but I like this job. These are good qualities anywhere. To be humble, to be simple. It's not bad. India has a special status when it comes to spirituality because God Himself appeared in India. But still, India is doing miserably in the modern world. There's chaos and confusion. Why? No, God Himself comes to India, and India is ignoring what you expect. Huh? Just like I was reading someplace. Oh, I know, it was some time ago. It was Shakespeare, some play. I think it was King Lear, something like that. The messenger was sent by the king, and the messenger was badly treated. Then the king became angry. You're mistreating my messenger. So if God sends His messengers or incarnations to India, and India ignores, then what do you expect? I sent my messenger here, or I came myself, and you ignored me, and you're going after materialistic way of life? I give you more chance, and you're going like this, well then what do you expect? India's favored. So if we ignore the favor, then it comes worse. Well, from another point of view, every place is favored in a particular way. America is favored materially, so they're taking advantage materially, they're making progress. And India is favored spiritually, and instead of taking advantage, they're thinking, I want what the other guy's got. Though India is India, it will never become America. And if it gives up India being India, it will not be India either. Dharma Kshetra, it's meant for Dharma. America is meant for something else. So if India gives up being Dharma Kshetra to become something else, it won't become that something else. That's already being done. You know, whatever you invent here was invented there 100 years ago. Whatever degradation you might pick up, they were already expert at it. So you'll never be America. And if you give up being Dharma Kshetra, you won't be India either. Then where will you be? You'll be nowhere. So they, you know, I can do anything a man can do, da-da-da-da-da. So then they try, but because they're women, they can't actually become like men. But because they've tried to become like men, they're no longer like women either. So then what are they? They're unhappy, that's all. In the Deity Worship magazine, I've read that cow urine is used during Abhishek as well as other things. Is this true? Yes, this is true. According to Vedic knowledge, cow urine is purifying. I can't say what modern medicine will say, but we'll bathe the deities with these cow dung, cow urine anyway. We'll consider it good. Modern progressive life, to kill the cow is very good. But we don't think it's very good. Their progress is to eat the cow. And then later discover that every disease is coming. But we'll trust the Vedic way of life.
Another question.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that in every house there will be name of Krishna chanted. Then how can we say that there will never be reformation of the world? Maybe not every house, but every town and village, Nagaradika. No, there's some reformation. But reformation means not actually that the place becomes reformed, but the people become reformed. The material world still remains the material world, but people understand the material world, so they chant Hare Krishna and get out. Not that the material world is turned into the place to stay. Reformation as far as possible. To some extent there will be reformation. That's a fact. But finally, it's the material world. It will always be. When note mode now, everything is coming in the writing. While chanting, when bad thoughts come, we surrender more to Krishna. That is, we chant properly. Then in order to chant properly, should we after some time think of these things? See, I'm trying to chant and then bad thoughts come. So then I have to chant nicely. Now I'm chanting nicely, should I think of the bad things again? Is that the question? I don't think so. It's like I had a disease, and by taking proper treatment. Now I'm healthy. So now that I'm healthy, should I get diseased again? Maybe I've misunderstood the question, but if that's the question, that's the answer. Why do they come? Because we want them. By association with the material qualities, we've become attracted to these thoughts. From previous habit. We picked up these previous impressions that by this thought and that thought, I'll get happiness. If I think of this thing, then happiness will come. Yeah. Therefore, by chanting, we have to chant with concentration on the transcendental sound so that these previous impressions will be left aside. Some other question? Yes? Microphone.
Krishna?
Yeah.
This question for you. Sometimes a question is asked, the answer can be, the person says that if I object to the one and fifth of the woman of the newest child, then is it right or not? And you want to answer this is overstepping of the duty.
That this is what?
Overstepping of the duty.
It may be. Not that the neighbor's child should run, you know, become like the terror of the neighborhood and I can't do anything. But I have to see what is my duty, that's all. That's what I need to say.
My question is that sometimes we go for teaching, they need the beautiful programs, which are in Krishna, and then they're very ferocious. They don't come to government programs, they don't come over there.
What's that?
Don't come to government programs, I want to go over there.
Those people who we are calling are ferocious. If you don't call me for the program, don't come here.
All right. Yes.
So the main thing is that I think we have to say other things about them. So is it again the same perspective? What's the thing about duty?
No, our duty is to disturb them. We're appointed, they're very happy and comfortable without Krishna, and our duty is to disturb them. Yes. So someone is running off the roof, and you're yelling at him, wait, stop. No, I'm running, don't bother me. No, it's my duty. Of course, in just in practical affairs, if someone is insisting, don't call me. All right, we'll call someone else. But up to a point at least, we'll at least try to disturb you.
Hare Krishna.
Yes?
Hare Krishna.
Today's what?
Boys and girls. Today's modern society, boys and girls. They are not even ready to let their hands exposed to the sunlight or let their feet touch the soil. What to speak of living in the village? That should we not see the practical point that they are not ready at all to acclimatize with the village? What to speak
of? Yeah, it's not that we're not the International Society for Village Life. It's not that our message to you is now tonight don't go home to your flat here in Bombay. Just start walking until you get to the village and sleep under any tree, and then that's not our point. But our point is that simply by this mechanized and frenetic urbanized life, one is not becoming more advanced. The actual advancement is spiritual progress. So spiritual progress you can make anywhere. In the city, in the battlefield, in the village. Actually, village is more conducive. because the atmosphere is naturally peaceful, calm, natural. But the atmosphere may be conducive or not conducive. Even if it's conducive, if you stay in a village and don't chant Hare Krishna, then you're wasting your life. The atmosphere is conducive, so if you live in the village atmosphere and chant Hare Krishna, it will be very nice. Otherwise, if you're in the city and chant Hare Krishna, you'll get the same result. Therefore, we're International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Then they should go back to the village. Or they should get proper guidance. It's difficult because they don't know the techniques. They don't know the technique. Otherwise, when one learns the technique, it's not so difficult. Once one learns the techniques of Krishna consciousness, then as a student, just like therefore we have our youth forum, so that the youthful boys and girls, men and women, will be trained in the techniques of spiritual life. And then, even though they're in student life and so many troubles are there, they won't be overwhelmed. They'll be spiritually fixed. Our brahmacharis who are staying in the temple, they're here. Vunapuna means so many disturbances. But because they're trained in spiritual life, they're not being disturbed. It's a question of technique. A simple thing, a doctor is going to, we're in the medical world today, doctor is going to some infected area, but he's not becoming infected. Why? He knows the technique. That I take some vaccine or whatever it is, I observe some principles, and I'll not be infected. So it's a question of technique. If you know the technique, you can go anywhere. Some other question, yes?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
We have a continuation of a question why India is doing very bad. We've seen many paramparas.
Many?
In many paramparas, modified paramparas, they are more into see many people, many people from preaching. We have a notion that I'm going to say something and somebody is there outside in the Raghav and doing something for me. And many times they get affected, not because of the fact that they are not listening to chanting, but they are not listening to me. So, at this situation, many times I inform this, and I think that why I got angry is because that person didn't listen to me. So, at this situation, how do I pray to God that these emotions go away?
Yeah, that's. You've already answered your question. That while doing something, so you've answered your own question while doing something for the satisfaction of Krishna, our own false ego may intervene. And then we realize later that my false ego intervened. Then what to do? Then pray to Krishna that my false ego is intervening and interfering with my devotional service. Will you please help me? That's right. Some other question? Yeah.
When this happens, many times I try to be judgmental.
Try to?
Be judgmental about others, to judge others. How do I make judgmental about
what's wrong with making judgments?
But many times I say, okay, this person is cheating against me, eating, or gambling. So many times we also be taught that. You should not insult a new person who
just happened to him. You should not insult him?
Insult him? Because he could be a great
that's another thing. Not that you have to insult him, but it doesn't mean you don't have any judgment.
Isn't that wrong, being judging?
No, you judge everything. Judge means you discriminate. Let's change the word. Judge means like somehow or other that you've been appointed and you're going to give punishment or something. But discriminate. We discriminate. We discriminate. This is pankapal, this is kacha. Not that we're Mayavadis, that everything is one, so kachapal and pankapal is the same thing. We discriminate. Everyone discriminates. So what's wrong with this? Somehow discrimination has a bad name. You call it judgment, and then you say, oh, judgment is bad. You should be non-judgmental. But non-judgmental means you have no brain. You can't discriminate. You have no brain. So we have to discriminate. Here's a gentleman. Here's a dacoit. You discriminate. Now, a saintly person, he'll be kind even to the dacoits. But still he'll know this man's a dacoit. We may try to give Krishna consciousness to everyone. You may be a dacoit, you may be a demon, you may be everything. But still we know. Hare Krishna. Either they should go to the village or they should stay here and be Krishna conscious. But there's no use staying in the university and or the college and being crazy.
But
from us.
So exactly nowadays that the people that they are
day. Yeah.
So should we open up centers?
Oh yes. Nagaradi Gram. Every village there should be an ISKCON center. Many villages already we have ISKCON centers. And especially Bengal. In the villages we have many, many centers. And also Maharashtra, sometimes in the villages we have. So every village should have a center. Why only the cities? We're in the cities because that's where we'll get the biggest, largest, the most action. You know, so many people congregate in the cities. Otherwise, we're not inclined towards cities. We like villages like Govardhan. But for preaching, we come to the city. But in every village, there should be in this kind of center. Yes.
Say
that again.
The only difference between other institutions in this one and the other institutions is that I am using this pushing technique. So in the spiritual world also, especially in the college, they have to practically push people to get them more programs like that. And we also can develop this situation. But then how much is too much and how much is too little?
You have to, of course, it's not that the only difference between ISKCON and other institutions is that we're pushy. There's also the question of what we're pushing. There are other pushing institutions also. We're not the only one.
But it's the question of also what we're pushing.
Push anything. And you never give them any Krishna consciousness, then what's the use? So a little pushy. You'll like that, huh? This gentleman here? People are doing wrong, we should do something. So that means we have to be a little pushy. Yes.
We see that we were in childhood,
what the, what I thought of very nice, and then though they were smart, you were taught the different theory and things like life comes to the time. But that is, we accept the, those things are wrong. We accept them easily, and when we grow up, those things, what to say, we are not ready to give those ideas which we have done.
Yeah.
So, shouldn't we try to change the education system which
yes.
is?
Yes. Once someone has learned something, it's hard for him to unlearn. It's better to learn from the beginning. Therefore, I was hearing today that here in Pune, there's a... A program has been started. Apart from the youth forum, there's a children's forum, huh? Prabhat School. So that from the very beginning, they'll get the right idea. And there's maybe 1,000 students, something like that, 120, 250 students. So it's very good. They're getting from the very beginning the right idea about Krishna consciousness. So this program can be expanded unlimitedly. They're doing it from house to house. They go, you know how it's working? They have a house. So the happy householder's house, the children congregate, and there's some chanting Hare Krishna, some instruction from Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, some stories, some plays, some games, something. The children have a good time, they take some prasada, and in this way the program goes on, just in the neighborhood. Devotee children, non-devotee children, doesn't matter. They come, and they get the impression of Krishna consciousness. So this program can be expanded from house to house, neighborhood to neighborhood, and from childhood. Komara Hatre Pragyan Paramam Bhagavatani. This is the motto. But a very good program, and it should be increased more and more.
That's very fine. What did they use in the job of
Oh, then it's very good. If they don't get a job, then they'll have to join the Hare Krishna movement and become full-time preachers.
That's part of life, but you know, I'm spiritually awake, that's what I think. I don't find anything wrong with sort of movies, hanging out with guys. So
the,
I need to have money for that, I need to have the formal education.
Yeah, therefore, if we'd gotten to you earlier, we might have spoiled your life so you wouldn't have money and you wouldn't be able to go to the movies. That would have been better. Because if you go to the movie, what spiritual progress do you make?
Of course, I do, sir. Like sometimes, in the morning, I do my morning prayers.
That's another thing. That's very good. But when you go to the movie, what spiritual progress do you make? We're chanting and dancing, and we're getting better enjoyment. And it's free. And we're making spiritual advancement. You're enjoying going to the movie, but you're not making spiritual advancement there, and you're paying money. And we're getting just as much enjoyment, and we're making spiritual enjoyment, spiritual progress, and we're not spending anything. So which is better? No, immediately we're enjoying. Immediately. Otherwise, why are we dancing? It may be long term, but short term also we're enjoying. We're enjoying. We're having a good time. We're singing, we're dancing. Everyone likes to sing and dance and have a good time. We're singing and dancing and having a good time. And then we eat very nicely. That's enjoyment. So we're enjoying. Why should we pay money? You see, why should we pay money to enjoy? And then I have to work. If I have to pay money to enjoy, then as you say, I have to work to get money. But working is not enjoyment. So we're enjoying, and while you're working, we're also enjoying. When you're at the movies, we're singing and dancing, and while you're working to pay for the movie, we're also singing and dancing. So we're getting double the enjoyment. And we're making spiritual progress. While you're working, no special spiritual thing is happening. But while you're working, we're chanting Hare Krishna and making spiritual progress. We have to, what's that? What is that material fun and enjoyment? Material enjoyment means what? Nice eating? We're eating nicely? Krishna prasadam? Material enjoyment means what? Singing? Dancing? We're doing that? And so we have family life. What's missing? Everything is there. Yeah, change the line of enjoyment. Somehow or other, because you have money and you're in a certain environment, you're thinking, if I spend money and I do this and that, I'll enjoy. But actually, there's a higher way of enjoying. Therefore, that point was there, that we're teaching these techniques. Techniques means how to enjoy more. Materially, we're thinking, the art of material life is how to enjoy more. I'm getting a certain amount of enjoyment, and I'm thinking, now how will I enjoy more? But the secret is that you'll not enjoy more. Actually, the villager who has no facility for going to the movie is enjoying just as much as you are in the city. He's enjoying just as much. But because you're so trained, you think, if I'm not able to go to the movie, then, I couldn't go to the movie. But if you didn't have the movie, you'd enjoy just as much without it. So we're thinking that by some material progressive thing, by having a movie, by having a this, by having a that, I'll enjoy more. It's not actually a fact. My enjoyment is already fixed. Material enjoyment can't be pushed and increased. If I try to push it, I'll increase my suffering, actually. So our method is that you want to increase your enjoyment. That's natural, because the soul wants to enjoy. He has a natural enjoying propensity. But it won't be satisfied on the material platform. It'll be satisfied on the spiritual platform. And more easily, without pain. So these techniques we want to teach. There's something here. Let's see what it is before I crumple it. Everyone's on me for saying something about village life. Let's see what this is. Yeah, I've already answered this question. It's okay. Next question.
And you actually said that our senses are imperfect.
Mm.
So,
with
this imperfect senses, can we really judge our own
progress? Can we all? Assess our own progress?
In Krishna consciousness.
To a certain extent, we can assess, and we can also depend on others who are spiritually more advanced. So I may think, yes, I'm making advancement, but then I have to take guidance from those who are more spiritually advanced than I am. And they'll correct us. No, this is something that's not exactly right. You have to improve this, that. Not just self-assessment, but take assessment from others. Spiritual master is there. The senior devotees are there to help us. Sorry? Yeah, so you see what are the qualities. They're described. That what is that in Srimad Bhagavatam? Tada rajas tamo bhava karma lopare astriye chete. So we have to see how we're advancing in freedom from passion, freedom from anger, freedom from material desire, and how I'm advancing in my enthusiasm, utsaha, nishtriya, kairiya. You know, so many ways I have to see by Shastric vision. Is that okay? Sometimes we preach to our friends, they immediately talk about the rasa dance of Krishna and so many things that happen in Mahabharata, like partiality, etc. But they appreciate Lord Ram. Should we be in touch with them and try to give them Krishna Katha? Sometimes they say, you are not qualified to preach to me, so I don't want to listen from you. Yes, actually we don't preach this Krishna Leela for the persons who don't have faith in Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't talk to Arjuna about the Ras Leela, about so many things. One has to understand what is matter, what is spirit. One has to understand the nature of the absolute truth. So many things one has to understand. Krishna Leela is for the advanced students. So, yeah, they don't understand what is Krishna. They're immediately talking Ras Leela, but they don't know what is Ras Leela. They don't even know what is ABC. So, they say, you're not qualified to preach to me. That's true, we're not qualified to preach about Krishna Leela. You're not qualified to hear about Krishna Leela. So, we should speak Bhagavad Gita, simple ABC, that maybe you can understand. Another question? So many questions. Devotees say that we are very happy, but materialists say that as devotees run away from all their responsibility toward their family and others in the world, they are naturally tensionless. Is it right? Well, of course, to a certain extent they're right. If you run away from family responsibilities and remain brahmachari, you'll save yourself a lot of trouble. That's a fact. What's wrong there? If family life means tension and trouble, and if I run away from it, what's wrong? I have to run toward tension and trouble? If I can live more simply and happily without the burdens of family life, oh, you're escaping. Good. You're envious. Otherwise, we don't mind. Family life doesn't have to mean tension. You engage in family life and Krishna consciousness, that's also tensionless. Not that Krishna consciousness means irresponsible. Arjuna was fighting the battle of Kurukshetra. Is that irresponsible? Devotee can take so much responsibility. You're irresponsible. Krishna says, Sarvataman Pratyaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Your responsibility is to surrender to me. Are you surrendering? No. You're irresponsible. Krishna says the responsibility of a parent is that he must make his children Krishna conscious. Or Namochiye Yasamupetra Mityam. He must deliver his children from birth and death. Otherwise he shouldn't become a parent. Are you doing that? No. You shouldn't become a husband unless you can deliver your wife from birth and death. Are you doing that? No. One shouldn't become anything responsible unless he can deliver the persons under his charge from birth and death. Are you doing that? No. Then, irresponsible. Yes? Give the microphone.
Well,
slowly, slowly.
And you have to know that even if your parents say that, don't do all this, it's the evil you do.
Yes.
So don't do any, and even if it's like,
that if your parents at home and do it, then even if you run away from your family and do it, you are saying it right. So don't you have a responsibility towards your parents?
Yes. Responsibility toward your parents is that you should benefit them by becoming Krishna conscious. But you have responsibility to your parents, and you have responsibility to God. Which responsibility is greater? Who is the greater authority? Your father or God? Answer my question. Whose authority is greater? Your father's authority or God's authority? Yes, because your father is also under God's authority. Well, God is the supreme authority, and your father is an authority to some extent. So, to whom do you have a greater responsibility? Well, which responsibility has priority? Your father will say, your responsibility to me. But Krishna says, your responsibility to me. Sarvatarman Partij. You can give up all other responsibility and surrender to me, Krishna says. So mother and father may not like that, but that's what God says. Does not mean what? But we don't say run away from your parents, we say serve Krishna. But if your parents say don't serve Krishna, too bad. Hiranyakashipu said don't serve Krishna. Prahlad said, alright, I won't serve Krishna, but I will. Not that because Hiranyakashipu says don't serve Krishna, alright, I won't serve Krishna. No, I must. And not that our parents are all Hiranyakashipu, but the point is there. That Krishna says, serve me. So it doesn't mean you must run away from your parents to serve Krishna. But if your parents want to place obstacles in the path of devotional service, they're working against your interest and their interest. It's their responsibility to help you become Krishna conscious. If they're not helping you become Krishna conscious, they're being irresponsible. And it's your duty to become Krishna conscious. If you're not doing that, you're being irresponsible. So if you can do both things, be responsible to your parents and to Krishna, it's very nice. Otherwise, if you have to choose, choose Krishna.
Well,
how can he live on this?
What's that?
A Hindi name for you?
Hindi. Okay.
अनुवाद कीजिए in the sky, to your eyes it seems to be a small ball. But from scientists you understand that it's immense. So the eyes are unreliable. Hearing is reliable. You see some food and it appears to be very nice. But you hear from someone, this food is contaminated. So what do you rely on, your eyes or the message? In so many ways. We hear from, we see a beautiful girl, we think I could enjoy. Your eyes are telling you, I will enjoy it. All of your senses are saying, I will enjoy it. And the government is saying, you'll get AIDS. And what will you do? Believe the government or believe your senses? In so many ways, senses are unreliable. What we're seeing right in front of us are parents. But if you, with eyes of knowledge, you'll see that my parents are here for say 50 years, 100 years. Previously I had another set of parents, later I'll have another set of parents. Huh? That's knowledge. If you go by your senses, you'll be in a little box. And if you go by hearing, it's up to you. But it doesn't mean there's no America. There's nothing but India, because all I see is India. There's America also. So Bhagavad Gita says, there's another world which is eternal. And if you don't see it, that doesn't mean it's there. But if you insist that if I don't see it, it doesn't matter, then you miss it. Well, another example. I have a piece of paper this big. And I say this is worth 1 lakh of rupees. It's a check. You say, I only see a piece of paper. And you lost a lakh of rupees. You see by hearing. A child, he just sees a piece of paper. What does he do? But by hearing, the child understands. No, this is, you can put that up. He understands this is something else. It's not for eating. So we see by hearing. Some other question? We have a lot of questions here, actually. So, how long do we go with questions?
10 minutes,
okay. As devotees, how can we avoid feelings like becoming annoyed and frustrated about petty things which come up in relationships, and rather than be calm and composed? Is this due to poor sadhana? Just chant Hare Krishna, you'll become calm, composed. You'll deal with frustration, everything. Yes, sadhana. By chanting Hare Krishna, everything will be adjusted. Practice. Abhyasa yoga yuktena. You said it's nice if youth don't get jobs, they can join the movement, but is it not negative attitude? We are told better to join in knowledge. Or is it like you join and Krishna will take care of remaining things, like attitude and mood and so on? Like you take one step in this direction and Krishna will take 100 steps. So you have to take guidance from others, from experienced devotees. Someone is advised, you drop everything, just join. And someone is advised, you continue your work and serve Krishna in that way. There's not one prescription for everyone. It's according to your situation. One should take guidance from advanced devotees. In comparison to India, people of America are rich. Are they pious in their previous life according to Bhagavad Gita? If they were pious, why can't they adopt spiritual life in numbers? No, they're sinful, and therefore they're getting these material advancements. India is more pious, therefore they're getting spiritual opportunities. Wealth is not the sign of piety. Spiritual knowledge is the sign of piety. If you're getting wealth without spiritual knowledge, that's a sign of impiety. It's, of course, if you've got neither, if you have neither spiritual knowledge nor wealth, then you're still more impious. So America, they're a little pious, they have wealth. But India is more pious, they have more spiritual knowledge. So take advantage. Not that America, that I look at America, ooh, they've got, what have they got? They've got suffering. Because they have no spiritual knowledge. That we read. While chanting, our mind wandering here and there. Yeah, mine too. So how to chant attentively? Yes, by practice, Krishna says. Yato nischalati mana chanchala asthiram tatat tato niyamyaita atmanyeva visham nayam. This is practice. Wherever the mind goes, just bring it back, bring it back, bring it back, bring it back. So that Bhagavad Gita's instruction is the same as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. Kirtaniya Sarahari. Just go on chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Wherever the mind is wandering, just bring it back. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Oh, I thought these were questions. They're actually only... I was an illusion. All right. Around the corner there's a question, yeah?
Loud and slow.
Loud and slow. I couldn't hear. I couldn't hear properly. Anger?
1 year ago, I became angry with the devotee. And now that anger is coming out again. So when I take darshan of the devi, I become angry with the devi. So what should I do?
Prabhupada gave some advice. There was one devotee, he was very angry. So Prabhupada gave advice that when you become angry, think of Lord Nrisingadev. Because you're a little bit angry, relatively angry, but Lord Nrisingadev is absolutely angry. He's unlimitedly angry. So when there's anger, you can think of Lord Nrisingadev, and because Lord Nrisingadev is Krishna, your mind will be purified and the problem will be all right. Pardon me? Fine.
Taking darshan, am I not committing offenses?
Anyway, if you don't take darshan, you commit another offense.
Can you?
Can
I take darshan daily?
It's all right with me. For taking darshan? There's no punishment for taking darshan.
But I think I do.
Anyway, you'll be angry whether you see the deities or not, won't you? Yeah, but darshan, you should get darshan through your ears also. That you should understand that if there's some problem, it's not Krishna's fault, it's your fault. Krishna's not vindictive. Krishna doesn't punish needlessly. If you have some problem, it's not because Krishna is singling you out for problems. It's your own fault. Just like a prisoner. If the prisoner becomes angry at the government, then why have they put me in prison? He'll never get out of prison. He'll just be angry. He'll punch a guard or something. He should understand, I'm in prison because of my own misdeeds. And I have to reform myself according to the government direction, then everything will be all right. If he goes on being angry at the government for his own faults, he's not going to help himself. And simply to, every time he sees the guard, he'll be angry. And finally he'll do something and get himself in more trouble. So he has to purify his heart. So our process is not simply seeing, but you see the deity. But you have to see with understanding also. So therefore darshan means not just with the eyes, but with the ears. We have to see Krishna, understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, samaham sarvabhuteshu, he's equal toward everyone. He's not responsible Purusha Sabadukha Sukadukana. It's the living entity who himself was responsible for his own happiness and distress. Just like the neem tree is bitter, or lemon tree is bitter, and the some other tree is, mango tree is sweet. So if the lemon tree blames the rain, that's your fault that I'm bitter. Is it the rain's fault? The rain is falling on the mango tree also. Rain is falling on the chiku tree also. Chiku is sweet. So if the chiku is sweet and the lemon is sour, it's not the fault of the rain, because the rain falls every place. So if you have cause for anger and you want someone to be angry with, look at yourself. But better than wasting time being angry at yourself, do yourself a favor, chant Hare Krishna, understand the philosophy, and purify the heart. Hare Krishna, yeah.
Yeah,
Krishna consciousness means consciousness, not the particular activity. How do you, which what? When you're not interested in doing it? You don't have a taste for it? Yes. Therefore, it's a question. It's a question. But somehow, if I have no taste for material activities, then just better to do this. But if I have still have some interest in material activities, then I have to perform them, especially in family life. In family life, I have an interest in home and various needs in the family life, so that means working. So, of course, everyone is interested in the fun part. And no one wants the responsibility. Everyone wants the side of the chicken that lays the eggs, and no one wants the side that eats. So that's understandable. But you have to take interest in both sides, or else give up eggs. Right? So either one can live as brahmacharya, means give up interest in family and all such responsibilities, and he doesn't need to work also. Otherwise, if one is in family life, that's all right, but then he has to responsibly execute the family duties. So either way, as brahmachari or as family man, the essential thing is to be Krishna conscious. So in brahmachari life, there are also things that we don't want to do. We're singing, we're dancing, but there may be things that we don't enjoy so much. Not that simply brahmacharya life is only fun. There's work to do also, and it's not always fun. So one has to do that, remembering Krishna. But for Krishna, I'll do what I like to do, and I'll do what I don't like to do also. So in every stage of life, as brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, one has to do whatever is required, keeping Krishna in mind. Yes. Microphone. Click, click. Click, click.
Whenever I meet to my friends or any person, I become happy. If the person is asking some questions about me, how are you, and what is your religion, then I become more happy. But if he is not asking any questions,
you become angry. He's not interested in you, so you become angry because you have some expectation. You're expecting that they'll be interested in me, they'll say nice things about me, they'll so many things. And then if your happiness, if they don't do it, then you feel frustrated or angry. So that's natural, that when our desire is not fulfilled, we feel unhappy. Therefore, the best thing is to give up these expectations of material happiness. Then, when it doesn't come, fulfillment, you won't be surprised or disappointed. Get your happiness from Krishna. Krishna is always interested in you. Krishna will always reciprocate. And you'll never be disappointed. In family life or social life, you'll sometimes be happy and sometimes disappointed. But if you don't expect any happiness there, you'll never be disappointed. Problem solved. Sir?
Quick.
These expectations are ego?
Yeah, they're based on the bodily concept of life. I'm thinking that I'm body. I'm this body, so I'm thinking this is my cousin, this is my brother, this is my friend, in terms of this bodily relationship. And then when in relationship with that body, when my expectations are not met, then I become angry. The example is there, Daksha. Maharaj Daksha was the father of Sati. So there was some yajna going on, and Lord Shiva, the husband of Sati, didn't stand up to offer him respect. So then Daksha became angry that he's my son-in-law and he's the daughter, the wife of my daughter, and I'm a Prajapati and he's not offering me respect. He became all angry in terms of this bodily relationship. And he didn't consider that Lord Shiva is so exalted and great Vaishnava, everything. So he lost his understanding because of this false ego bodily concept of life. Yeah. So we have to be in our real ego as servant of Krishna, a Krishna conscious person, then this problem won't be there. Okay. Last question? What are you doing? Your students or your...
Can I say
So what is your position now?
And what's my understanding is, and what is it on behalf of me, that what Krishna is
doing?
I don't have something. Can you clarify it on behalf of
me? Yes. On behalf of me means that these prescribed duties are prescribed for the satisfaction of Krishna. That is to say, when I do my work properly and offer the results to Krishna, then it's on behalf of Krishna. If I do it for my own sense gratification, then it's not on behalf of Krishna. Karmanye Vadikaraste, they say that everyone has a right to work. But Mapaleshu Kadachana, not that I fight just to get some result for myself. The result should be offered to Krishna. Arjun fought not to win the kingdom. He didn't want a kingdom. He fought because Krishna wanted him to fight. So when we act because Krishna wants me to act, or so that I can offer the results of Krishna, then I'm acting for Krishna. Not that I simply do whatever I want, and then I say, yes, I did that for Krishna.
Wasn't Krishna true that Arjuna
I couldn't follow. What is that?
And he's pretending to fight, right?
Yeah.
So what's my situation?
I don't know. I don't know you. What is your situation? Are you a Kshatriya? Are you in the army? What is your situation?
In the army.
Army is Kshatriya. Kshatriya karma. Kshatriya karma shabhavita. Army means Kshatriya.
So in my information, whether they say karma or not.
Hmm? Fighting for the nation. Everybody fights for something. They fight for the nation. They fight for whatever it is. So fighting is the business of the Kshatriya.
So even a government fights for bread. I'm fighting for bread.
That's the business of the dogs. The crows fight over bread. But the army means it's supposed to be Kshatriya spirit to protect the country. Fighting for the country means protecting the citizens and so on. Of course, it may not, in every duty there's some imperfection also. But in general, the police work, fighting work, that's Kshatriya business. Teaching, that's Brahmin business. Commerce, that's Vaishya business. And assistance, that's Shudra business. So that's the general category. Now in everything there may be some discrepancy or whatever, but that's the general categorization. Someone whose business is teaching and so on, so Brahmin. And someone whose business is just assisting everybody else, that's Shudra. And someone who's spreading Krishna consciousness, that's Vaishnava. Vaishnava is transcendental to all the categories. But still he acts according to the duties. Is that okay? Okay. Shall we stop here?
So he advised them to get married. So it's not that everyone is advised to get married or that everyone is advised to renounce. Everyone is advised to be Krishna conscious. General advice is that if one can avoid marriage, it's good. If one can avoid the entanglement of... avoid marriage means avoid association of women. If you can avoid householder life, association of women, it's very good. That's best. But if it's not avoidable, then get married. Not that I'll eternally be bewildered, but let me serve Krishna in one position or another. If I can serve in without encumbrance of family, that's nice. Otherwise, all right, with family. Main thing is to serve Krishna. Is that okay?
Then we see that the devotees, after becoming more purified, those who are going to Narayan Saras and performing austerities.
By austerity one makes advancement.
So by austerity one can avoid unnecessary responsibilities?
Yeah. If you're austere and you control your mind and senses, then you may be able to avoid. Sure. Brahmacharya life means austerity. Everybody wants family happiness. But if you accept the value of austerity, then you may say, well, skip family happiness, I'll get a better happiness. Tapasya austerity means to skip some immediate happiness for some long-term happiness. Like going to school, you could be playing soccer or something. But you're foregoing that happiness because you have intelligence and you say, well, I'll undergo some trouble instead and I'll get more happiness. So similarly, someone says, I'll get married, I'll be happy. That's all right. But someone else says, I'll skip marriage, I'll perform tapasya, I'll be advanced in spiritual life, and I'll be more happy. Well, if he can do that, that's still better. Otherwise, in any position, serve Krishna.
Because more we read Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada is always encouraging people, like especially in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, Prabhupada writes very specifically that. Therefore, we instruct immediately to, like, Prabhupada is never mentioning.
If you can skip family entanglement, by all means do. If you don't, you know, the whole world is pushing get married, but if you don't have that attachment, then why bother? Just because everyone is pushing. So anyway, they're pushing, but we don't have to be pushed. Krishna's pulling.
Maharaj also says that the day you develop Vairagya, you should renounce the world. It's the Chanakya quote. So, reading from scriptures, we come to understanding that this is a really miserable place. So that may be the theoretical understanding. But then, will the theoretical understanding lead to the substantial, you know, we can stand up on that?
By practice. If it remains just theoretical, then it will remain theoretical. But the theory has to be put into practice, just like surgery. You may understand it in theory, but that doesn't make you a surgeon. You have to practice also. You have to take training and practice. I know how to do it. If you take training and you practice, then you'll be a surgeon. If you just read a surgery book, you'll remain theoretical.
Do you know how long this moods will last? Because...
No, till the time of death.
Because it is said that the major things in the life, like such, most of the things they are decided, like the Jyotisha Shastra says some different things.
Yeah.
But then if someone is...
Very interesting.
Yes. So by Jyotisha Shastra, someone will be having some different destination. But with the process of Krishna consciousness and... It can be overcome.
Yeah. Producers and everything. Or the... Yeah. Or maybe fulfilled in another way.
Okay.
Oh, your child may say that you'll have no happiness. So then it so happens. You become Krishna conscious, you have no material happiness. Like that. The thing which is misfortune, because like usually if a person is not able to stay at home, he has to go different places. That's considered unfortunate. But for sannyasi, that's very fortunate. So every unfortunate chart can become fortunate. If you see in your chart, oh, no happiness from brothers, no happiness from sister, no happiness from wife, and the person looks and says, terrible chart. But for Vairagya is a very good chart.
Maharaj, what is otherwise, say, happiness from brother, happiness from wife?
Well, that's all right. But still, you have to see the whole picture. You may see that from Krishna there's greater happiness. You could have happiness from wife, from brother, but you get a greater happiness. If it's in Krishna consciousness, if you have an unfortunate chart, it becomes fortunate. And if you have a fortunate chart, it becomes more fortunate. And the same thing, if you don't become Krishna conscious, your fortunate chart means misfortune. And your unfortunate chart means still more.
Why not to give a try for Brahmacharya?
Yeah. Give peace a chance. Yeah, give it a try. Why not? Brahmacharya, like, and what also means if you change your mind, sort of no one. At least you had as much time as you had. And you may decide that it's so nice to just stay Brahmacharya forever. It's good, there's no loss. Brahmacharya life is nice. And you're inclined like that, so it's good. If someone's not inclined, he wants to be, I'll not be happy with that. All right. But if someone's inclined, then by all means. Okay. So, if they're inclined to be Brahmacharya, do it. You'll be happy if you're Brahmacharya. There's one more.
One question.
Okay. 1 second. Delicate operation. There was a question.
Spiritual life is negative life?
Yeah.
How it is possible?
Spirit negative of something bad is positive.
Yeah.
Just like poverty. If you make poverty negative, that's good. Or disease. If the disease indicator is negative, meaning you don't have disease, that's good.
God bless us. God bless
us. I couldn't follow.
Western people, I read somewhere.
Oh.
So spiritual life is negative life. There's no
negative. Negative. Their life is positively bad. And the negative of positively bad is positively good. Right? It's like if you have a fever, so many degrees fever, if you make that negative, you bring it down, that's good. So they're right, it's negative. Spiritual life is negative. When you're excessively diseased and we bring down the fever, so that's negative, but that's good. Someone's overeating, eating too much, becoming fat and diseased. So if he makes his eating negative, he eats less, that's good.
Prashadam, we can have as much as we desire to.
I know how much I desire and I know how much I can eat. It's not the same.
Because normally prasadam is very ecstatic.
As long as it's ecstatic, you can keep taking. And then it'll finally reach a point where you won't be ecstatic if you eat more, so then you have to stop. Take a lot. Take to your full satisfaction.
Maharaj, can I ask you one question?
Oh, but you're right. That one also I was supposed to take. I'm sorry.
No.
So what was that? So do you become happy if they ask how are you or just that?
Yeah. That means I don't expect more from them.
Mm.
Just they ask how you are. Like
right, that's the normal expectation.
Like beauty, they are asking how you are.
Right.
Every time.
Right.
I become happy. But when they does not ask any question, I'm just angry. When you throw some light on me.
Yeah, that's the material world. Material world means sometimes my expectation is not met, then it's disappointing. Actually, the whole world is disappointing. So to become disappointed with this material world is good.
At present, what I can do?
Forget about happiness from
material
world.
Yeah. How should I can?
Just like if I come here and I expect that when I come, there'll be, you know, they'll offer me a big plate of prasadam, they'll give me a fancy room, they'll give me this, they'll give me that. Then if I don't get it, I feel disappointed. And if I'm not expecting it, then I won't feel disappointed at all. I wasn't expecting it. Don't expect, then you won't be disappointed.
Just stop for expectation.
Yes. Like, why should I expect happiness in this material world, which is certified as dukkhali? I should expect happiness in the spiritual world, which is sukha. Hare Krishna.
God one, if one gets birth from mother and father, so is that not soul is created by
yeah.
from the mother?
Yeah.
So what is happening then?
Soul is traveling. He was in some other body, now he's in this body. He's not created in the creation of the body. The body is created, but that doesn't mean soul is created. Well, you build a house, then you live in the house. Does it mean that you were created by the building of the house? You were in some other house, now you're in this house. When the house is destroyed, you'll go to some other house. Krishna.
My life is a very miserable life.
Because you're in this material world. Well, you tell me, why is your life miserable?
And my life is miserable because my wife has divorced me. I want to live with her, but she has divorced me. I love her very much. To love a wife is not a crime.
Not a crime?
To hate a husband is a crime. To love a wife is not a crime.
But if although it's not a crime, it's a source of unhappiness.
Huh?
It's a source of unhappiness.
Uh-huh.
Because you love the wife, but the wife...
To love a wife is not a crime.
It's not crime, but it may be a source of unhappiness. Because the love may not be returned.
What happens? We were fighting the case of divorce for more than 8 years. I said, I will not give divorce. If both the parties sign, divorce takes not even 1 minute. It gets finished in 1 minute, but any spouse, if he fights, it will indefinitely. Then also I remain absent in the court because of my sickness, and she got ex-party decree.
Okay.
You understand now?
I understand exactly.
Had I been present, divorce would have not taken place.
You're divorced. So?
So why this has happened?
Because this is the material world. Vidkalyam Ashashvatam. Everything is Ashashvatam. Not permanent. You like marriage life, you like your wife, you want to live permanently with your wife. But this is the world where nothing is permanent.
But things are not happening according to my wishes, right?
That's right, because this material world is the place where things are not according to our wishes. It's such a place.
Things are not happening according to my wish.
Yeah, because you're not the controller.
Who's the controller?
Krishna.
Then why Krishna is not doing anything according to my wish?
Because God is not your order supplier.
Huh?
God is not your order supplier.
Uh-huh.
Not that he has to see what is your wish and then do that. God, that is not God's position. That he has to see, well, what does he want? All right, give him. That's not God's business. Not that God is your order supplier. God is God.
Uh-huh.
So you're desiring something, but you're not in control. Otherwise, you'd get everything you want. But you can't get everything you want because you're not in control. You're helpless, actually.
Why am I helpless?
Because you can't control. You want to control,
yes.
But you can't control.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond your control. You needed to be in the court. You couldn't be there. It was beyond your control. She got the decree. Beyond your control. If she died, that would also be beyond your control.
I go for racing, horse racing.
Yeah.
I bet the horse and horse are not winning. I feel unhappy.
Yes.
Then I lose money.
Yes.
Is my horse...
It's not under your control?
Money multiplies fast.
It's not under your control. Whether you're controlled by the gambler. Whether you are controlled by the gambler. You're losing money, still you're gambling. So you are under the control.
I go there to win the money,
and
not to lose the money.
But actually you're losing.
Yes, I'm losing. Why am I losing? I want to make the money there.
Well, because what you want is not what you get. You're helpless. That's my point. You can't control. You can't make it. Now I bet on this horse. This horse has to win. you're helpless.
Hmm.
Well, what should a helpless person do?
Hmm.
Yeah? What should a helpless person do?
He should go to Krishna.
Yes, correct. That's intelligent.
Hare Krishna.
Last one.
From my childhood, I am searching for a good friend.
Oh.
Still not.
That's Krishna. You're searching for a good friend. Krishna says, Suradam Sarvadhi. I'm the best friend of everyone.
Prabhu, then is every time I need some help, like solution.
That's Krishna. Krishna will help you. I will give you the best help.
Even for friend, I stop for searching.
Mm-hmm.
Even for friend.
Yeah, you don't have to search for a better friend. You make friends with Krishna. And Krishna's devotees. Krishna, make friends with Krishna, automatically you'll be friends with Krishna's devotees and person. You don't look for other friends.